Hello everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where I, Rod Jones, Content Manager, and Kate Cooper, Head of Research Policy and Standards at the Institute, take a critical look at what's been happening in the world of leadership and management up to the 27th of July 2020. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Well, our first story, Kate, asks if retailers have failed to show leadership on face masks. As legislation requiring UK residents to wear face masks in shops came into effect recently, some of the nation's biggest retail brands decided not to enforce the measure. In various tweets and statements, supermarket chains including Sainsbury's, Tesco and the Cooperative confirmed that their in-store staff would not be preventing mask-free customers from entering their premises. Cooperative CEO Joe Whitfield explained, "We'll have in-store signage on the new rules around face coverings, but we are clear that shop workers should not enforce the new legislation. On a daily basis, they face abuse, threatening behaviour, and even physical assault. Our own figures show that during the COVID-19 crisis, such instances have risen, and enforcing the wearing of face masks could be another flashpoint." Kate, have UK retail leaders blown a valuable opportunity to contribute to the broader national recovery from COVID-19?
With so many things to do with COVID-19, Rob, there isn't a simple answer. And the supermarkets are actually saying our duty of care towards our employees is more important than enforcing the legislation. And to be honest, the people, the frontline staff, will be the lowest paid, have that very difficult job of dealing with irate customers. People are very angry, don't want to wear face masks, and there's a huge amount of controversy from groups that are thinking that it's an infringement of their freedom. And whether you agree or don't agree with the refusal to wear them, it's not for these people to have to enforce it. So actually, I do support the supermarkets in looking after their own staff and recognising what a difficult job they do. Because, of course, the people who are creating the legislation, I don't think enough thought was given to who and how it will be enforced. And I think if we're serious about enforcing it, then we have to employ security staff to do that.
Thank you, Kate. It was interesting. I was in Liverpool the weekend, and most of the shops had got security staff on the door asking people to put masks on before they went in.
Well, that's why, and it's an expense, isn't it? And that hasn't been factored in into the regulation. And of course, that is likely that will be the next stage.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story asks, how should leaders stamp out video call sexism? Bosses are telling their female staff to dress sexier and wear makeup to field video calls in the COVID-19 era, according to new research from Slater and Gordon. Since lockdown took hold in March, the law firm discovered that 35% of female employees have experienced at least one sexist demand in order to help to win new business, be more pleasing to a client, or to look nicer for the team. Slater and Gordon employment lawyer Danielle Parsons said, "This is demeaning to women. It's extremely disappointing that we are still having these conversations, particularly during this time when women are juggling a multitude of roles from home."
This is so disappointing that people, women, are still being told to change their appearance in a way that is more attractive, supposedly, to customers and their colleagues. And the research, in reading it, men are not experiencing this same level of encouragement, if you like, sartorial encouragement. What are people thinking of when they're saying this to their female members of staff? Why do they think it's okay to objectify women in this way? Now, if there's genuine concern that somebody who normally comes into the office looking absolutely pristine and fabulous is looking very different, then that might be saying something about that individual that needs help and support, not criticism and encouragement to different. This is actually just at no level can we say that this is okay. And I do feel very sorry for the women who are experiencing this, because actually, when you think about it, if you're at home by yourself and somebody's telling you you ought to look better, you can't even easily go and have a chat with some of the other women in the office, where of course it happens, it doesn't just happen during virtual meetings, does it? And give each other support. So I'd say to anybody who's even thinking about saying this, don't.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story is on a similar theme, and it's a survey reported in Study finds that women are considering starting their own business to avoid the glass ceiling and office harassment. The second annual Global Entrepreneurship Survey spoke to women in 15 countries, including 2,000 in the United States, and found that the economic uncertainty created by the coronavirus has made more American women look to become entrepreneurs. Researchers say 57% of US respondents want to start a business, an increase of 11% on last year. However, the most common reasons for starting a business are becoming their own boss and inspiring young girls, yet more than 60% of women said unfair treatment at work played a role in the decision. A third of the survey claimed they have fewer opportunities for promotion compared to their male co-workers, and other drawbacks included a lack of equal pay and respondents believing they aren't taken seriously by their bosses. 30% of the poll added they face harassment or sexist attitudes at their jobs. Kate, does this surprise you?
It's a continuation of the previous story. There's a recognition that women are still being objectified in the workplace. They're not being treated equally, they're being treated differently and less well, and gender pay gap statistics support that they're being rewarded less well as also. So it's not surprising, and it never has been surprising, that so many women want to start their own businesses and set their own rules. But often when we look at the statistics for business startups and celebrate, if you like, the number of female entrepreneurs, often these aren't brilliantly successful businesses delivering high levels of rewards. They're micro businesses. It might be the woman working on her own, actually earning even less than she might have earned in an organization. So before we get too excited, I think, about these statistics, let's start saying, what are we going to do to keep the women in the workplace with the organisations that they're so keen to leave? And I think it goes back to the comments to the last story, Rod. Think very carefully about how you treat women at work. Be careful about being unfair and be much more conscious about sexism in the workplace.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story is that confidence among workers in the UK is on the rise, according to new data from LinkedIn. As part of their Workforce Confidence Index, LinkedIn recently asked more than 1,800 professionals about their confidence levels in relation to their jobs, finances, and career outlooks. Those working in finance roles are currently feeling the most confident, followed closely by those in business development and engineering, while those holding art and design roles, education, and sales are the least confident.
Well, we saw a high level of optimism in certain groups, certainly within SMEs and CEOs. But also in last week's podcast, Rob, we were talking about that research that had come about the dangers of a positive mindset. But we know how encouraged everybody in the business world has been to have a growth mindset, to be positive, to be resilient. And it might be that just by responding in a positive and optimistic way, that the individuals who are reporting increased confidence are actually adopting that philosophy, if you like, that if you think and say things are going to be good, then things will be good. And there's a sort of a reality-free zone about this. However, undoubtedly the case that some industries are continuing to recruit and continuing to not only carry on as normal, but grow. So maybe if you are feeling optimistic and confident, you're more likely to complete this sort of survey than if you're very, very worried about your future.
Okay, thank you, Kate. Well, our final story is by Brianna Sleezer, taken from a study published in the Journal of Business and Psychology, that successful in-person leaders may not be a great fit for virtual teams. According to a team at Brigham Young University, in-person teams value classic leadership qualities such as extroversion and intelligence. The study adds virtual teams are more action-orientated, preferring leaders who monitor timelines, provide feedback, and coordinate teamwork. Overall, virtual teams prefer leaders who take concrete steps to help others. On a virtual team, it's more important than in a face-to-face meeting to stand out as the one who helps others, explains co-author Cody Reeves in a university release. Those who take the time to pause and assist others with tasks are more likely to be viewed as leaders. In virtual environments, our actions speak loudly. The soft skills that traditional managers rely on might not translate easily to a virtual environment. Kate, how can leaders utilize their soft skills in a virtual environment?
I think in a way the piece answers its own questions. The sorts of things that we value in leaders are that supporting, caring, being interested, encouraging, all the sorts of things that we know are good leadership behaviours. Calling them soft skills, as I often say, actually does them a total disservice, because it is much more difficult to be empathetic, to look at the world from somebody else's point of view, to put their needs before your own, than it is just to issue a lot of instructions and then give people feedback as to whether or not they've met what it was you were asking of them. So are you very, very good in person and not very good on a Zoom call? I doubt it. And if you're starting from the position of what does the team member need, how can I best help them be the best that they can be, then it's not really going to matter whether they're sitting next to you or away from you.
Thank you, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.